Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rath.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Few of us like to move, and the ability to adapt to new circumstances diminishes as we grow older. For seniors, moving out of a familiar home because of impaired health, mobility, and self-sufficiency may lead to negative outcomes due to the stress of change. So while aging in place has become the ideal situation, if family or close relatives are far away, how do they ensure their loved ones are safe and sound?
Enter aging in place technology. Thanks to smartphones, GPS, voice activation, and sensors, seniors can stay put while family members keep track of their activities. With wireless technology, motion sensors can monitor an elder's daily activity at home. Easy-to-use tablets enable video chatting with the press of a button, no computer knowledge needed. And virtual pets can function as therapy companions for those with Alzheimer's and help maintain social interaction. Aging-in-place technology is a fast-growing segment of the market. And here to explain what's already available and what's coming down the pike is Dr. David Lindemann, director of the Center for Technology and Aging, a research group in Oakland, California. Dr. Lindemann has worked in the field of aging and long-term care for 30 years and also serves as co-director of the Center for Innovation and Technology in Public Health, which advances the use of technology to support population health.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Lindemann.
Delighted to be with you.
What are some of the biggest challenges facing older adults who want to stay in their homes and live independently for as long as possible?
Well, what's very exciting about this emerging technology space is that it helps both individuals who are already functioning at a very high level and still quite independent, but it is now really making a difference for individuals who are facing the biggest challenges to stay independent. And those involve issues around chronic disease, multiple chronic conditions, the major drivers of what forces people to not be able to stay in their home, which are issues such as falls, medication management, depression and dementia, and incontinence. And we also have the other key issue of social isolation.
As I was researching for the interview, I realized that some of the gadgets and sensors and great technology do help people stay in their home. But now that is replacing the companionship of a home health aide. Is there a concern that this is replacing that one connection a person may have when they're just alone and isolated?
No, not really, because what we see is technology is really an enhancement. It's a supplement, because working with our older adults and being in that population, one realizes that this is still always going to be a high-touch and possibly low-tech area where new forms of technology are giving us new opportunities to create engagement. But often this does not replace the most important issue of connection with family, connection with caregivers, et cetera.
So describe some of the state-of-the-art digital tools that are geared to helping older adults live on their own. What are you finding exciting out there?
Well, let's start with social isolation. I think it's a tremendous issue and underappreciated about just how much and how important it is for individuals to not only be in contact with family, friends, with their neighbors, but also being able to stay engaged and active in pursuit of the things that a person likes. So often as mobility can change, as other issues occur that limit a person's ability to get around, technology can create some wonderful breakthroughs through some simple programs that are very common, of course, now the mobile phone, the way we can use the internet, the way we can use different types of remote technologies. But it's really the excitement of how we have that interface, and often looking at creative ways that you bring together intergenerational programs, ways to connect families across the country, and ways that you can bring new information to individuals.
What about the idea of monitoring? There's the possibility of having wireless sensors throughout a parent's space and to keep track of, you know, are they going through the functions, the activities of daily living?
Absolutely. There are now a number of companies that have put together different types of sensors, both cameras, both motion detectors, and ways to have embedded elements in everything from a person's bed, to checking appliances that they're turned off, to even looking at the perimeter of a location of a residence in terms of issues around elopement, et cetera. But what's very intriguing is now we're seeing new technologies being put together so that you have platforms and connecting a number of these, and then being able to send it either information either to a family member or to a clinician or care manager at some other location.
You identified a number of other things a little while ago that are some issues for people and reasons they're not able to stay in their home. And one of them was chronic disease and medication management. What has been invented that would help a person who wants to stay at home with that issue of managing 4 pills a day at certain intervals, et cetera? What is now available currently that people are using?
Well, what we've done is seen a movement in this very important issue. Medication management is actually a $390 billion issue in the United States on an annual basis. And the lack of taking those medications or forgetting to take them has become a huge issue, often leading to significant declines in health or even hospitalization. What we've gone from is very simple pill boxes to automated medication machines that are now quite common and easily available over the counter, to apps which can then be done used by family members or older adults, particularly if there are no cognitive issues, to the text messaging reminders. Now what we're seeing is the next generation, which is just coming out and has FDA approval, and that's embedded sensors in pills themselves, so that when you take the medication, it actually sends a signal to a sensor that can go to your smartphone and then be sent to a clinician to actually then confirm for a concerned family member miles away that dad did take his pill this morning.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Reff.
And we are discussing the advent of aging-in-place technology with Dr. David Linneman, director of the Center for Technology and Aging, a research group in Oakland, California. Dr. Linneman, you've talked about many of the things that are now available and are being developed. Where is the push coming from? Is it coming from the medical industry? Is it coming from concerned adults who are part of the sandwich generation? They may have to care for kids, but they also need to keep track of parents who are far away. What is spurring on the development of these technologies?
Well, Linda, you hit some of the key issues completely in this area, but there are literally numerous issues that are driving this that are all coming together in one of those unique periods where we have not only the demographics changing so much, where we have so many older adults every day, as you know, 10,000 older adults turn 65, but we also have the fact that we have fewer caregivers, both family caregivers as well as professional caregivers, and we're going to have even a greater disconnect in terms of number of people to help individuals. And so the technology is not the only solution, but it's to help us overcome that issue. We also have the rapid improvement and lowering costs of technologies, which has made certain access to certain technologies much more feasible and much easier to scale. And of course, we have the real pressure on not only healthcare, but the cost to society for individuals who cannot take care of themselves, or again, with significant medical conditions, where technology is clearly being looked at as a means to help assist us in that area, whether it's electronic health records or, again, sensors and remote monitoring that allow people to not have to go to a clinician, et cetera. So we have multiple factors now coming together that are really driving this. But one key point, and that is the interests of older adults themselves in this. As more and more individuals are comfortable having worked with having their computer at work, as they retire or become without, again, at all ages, having access to information through computers and smartphones, it's become even more compelling for individuals who want to use new technology solutions to improve their independence and improve their life.
You hit upon the next question that I was going to ask, because at the same time you're trying to be ahead of the curve. I mean, obviously, this is the first generation of older Americans who will benefit from this. But this is probably also the last generation where there is a cultural divide. Some are very tech savvy. Some are very eager to embrace these applications. And a fair number aren't. So you're also having to develop products which would require low proficiency in technology. How do you address both at the same time?
Well, that's another very compelling issue, that we're really at a very important transition point. And there's two sides to this issue. One is access, accessibility, the utilization, the interface with technology, and how it can be very challenging for all of us, and particularly as we see the technology changing quickly. What is going to be very exciting in that area is seeing new forms of connectivity, such as the voice recognition software that is now becoming quite common in many people's homes, which will allow people to communicate by speaking to technology and not having to digitally interact with it. Similarly, with the advent of sensors and nanosensors, embedded sensors, we're able to get more information that anticipates individuals' activities and collects that without them having to interact. And third, the new areas in data science. With artificial intelligence and machine learning, we can do predictive analytics that in the near term are going to be very helpful in terms of anticipating what individuals want. But I do want to really reinforce one important area, and that's the other side of the coin, and that is the issue around inequity, and that we have wonderful new technologies coming online, many of which are affordable, many are quite expensive at this point, still have to be reduced, but we still have many, many people, older adults, persons with disabilities, families, who do not have access to these technologies, particularly those who do not have access to the internet, and so some of the power of what technology can provide individuals at this point.
You bring up such an important point, and I was going to ask you about not accessibility necessarily, but it's on the spectrum when we talk about costs of some of this technology. So you've mentioned some exciting developments that will be in place to help so many people. Just give me an idea of cost of something that's available now. You know, as we were talking about sensors so that we know if mom or dad fell or didn't open the refrigerator, it's reminding me of people that may have security systems. People that have more money can afford them, and then the company offers a menu of services within what they offer. So I assume it's going to be something like that, companies that are offering certain things and not others, things you can take them up on. But if you could just give us an idea, is it a monthly fee? Give us some common thing that's being used now, like these sensors for one thing or another. What are people paying for that?
Certainly, because what we're seeing as the market is helping drive this and affecting costs, and you brought up a perfect example of how many major telecommunication companies, security companies are moving into this space, realizing that they are already in a person's home, and they already have the tools to help individuals, and that for modest monthly fees or additional costs that can range into the hundreds of dollars for a monitoring program or a person to be at the other end of that system to look for alerts and any areas of concern, you're seeing these become quite promoted now across industries. What also, though, is very exciting to see is that some of the basic sensors are now showing up in retail stores. You can buy some of these sensor systems and install them themselves and get them right off the shelf from a local store. They are changing and improving quickly and dramatically. There's examples of some of the really exciting technologies that have been released. but also then because we're still in an early stage of how these programs work, some programs have not succeeded, and we've seen some companies have not actually survived. But for the most part, there's continuous growth, improvement, lowering of costs, making it ever more affordable. And what I do encourage individuals to do is first and foremost look at what they need for their family, and that it's not that it's just technology, but that it's going to provide a service and improve both the caregiver's life and improve an older adult's well-being. If it's doing that and it's saving energy and making life better, then the technology is very worthwhile to consider.
Dr. Lindemann, you'd think that would be a perfect way to wrap up this interview, but we have 1 minute left, and there's one technology that I've heard about that I just have a fascination with, and I'm going to ask you to just briefly explain how it works, and then if you can think of other things that would just be mind-blowing to our listeners, technology, as you talked about, the embedded sensors in medication. It's so futuristic, but just tell me a little about the smart toilet, that and maybe one or two other things, just very briefly.
Well, what we're seeing is that this is a global phenomenon in terms of new technologies, and in Japan, through the advanced toilets that have already been used and making life very comfortable for all people, you can now add different sensors and have means to monitor different health issues through those toilets. And again, just being part of the environment and having connected to caregivers and professionals, information and protecting privacy, that you can create new ways to be able to actually get information and anticipate health changes in healthcare. But we're seeing that, as you said, there are so many more new and very intriguing issues. And I would offer for you the way we're looking at robotics. Everything from we're not thinking of the HAL, we're considering exoskeletons, small exoskeletons, or devices that can help with transfer, or ways that robotics can do a lot of repetitive things for older adults. You're seeing ways that we'll be looking at fall prevention rather than fall monitoring. We're also looking at different types of issues around wearables, where people will have information coming from their clothing or a sensor that they have on their body. And we're seeing wonderful uses of mobile platforms that will allow people to take this information wherever they are. And, of course, autonomous vehicles are truly coming and will allow for a whole new level of independence. But the biggest issue of all is the advent of big data. And it's a very broad term, but the key issue in this area is we now have so much information, and as we learn how to use it, it'll be there to improve the well-being of older adults and the folks who are taking care of them.
A look at the future of aging in place technology and what we already have with us. Dr. David Lindemann is director of the Center for Technology and Aging, a research group in Oakland, California. Thank you so much for telling our audience what we can look forward to as we age in place.
Thank you for having me.